No, the question is, I guess it's really, we've got what, 5 million in the house? I'm just wondering how, by saying 50 cents, 100 blue, you know, and that, and maybe there should be something in there which is a floor for the amount of production, so we at least know that this amount of money was going back to the state. You could probably, you know, theoretically could operate it for $1,000.
I think we agreed to a floor of 13,500 or 50 cents per acre, which is pretty typical in the standard lease.
To have a floor.
Yes.
So we
have the
assurance of a certain amount of money coming in.
I agree. Because we always think about things getting better, not worse, so we didn't think about it getting worse.
What's the appraised value now of that facility?
Well, according to the documents that were given to Mr. Josephson on the 11th, it says right here on page 4 of that, the estimated fair market value of the business based on an income approach is approximately $2,750,000.
But income approach, Mr. Chairman, is ridiculous for this facility at this time. It doesn't have an income, it's got a negative income. You'd have to use the fair market value of the real estate and building.
That was our
value
too. But again, we're just relying upon figures that are presented.
You usually have two appraisals and anything.
Sure.
You know, I've been in real estate business off and on for years. You have an income approach and you have the replacement approach, value of the land and replacement.
Well, we don't have the value of the land or the replacement.
That's what I'm speaking to on this other one.
When we get the division people up, why we ought to talk about that, Joe's.
Sure, I don't know. I just go with what I read and have no idea what it's worth.
We have Senator Banning, then Senator Petullo. Are you through, Dick? Are you through asking,
yes,
Mr. Gaines?
Through the chair, Joe, could you on line 17 mentions that the lease is renewable annually, provided that the leasee has complied with health and product quality provisions of the lease. You know, additionally, obviously, we go into this thing about economically, and you add the word property.
Right.
What if the leasee doesn't pay any attention to the other state provisions of the lease? For example, provisions, as is common in every state lease, relative to mandated carrying of liability insurance, relative to carrying of other kinds of insurance. It seems to me that most state leases, and I'm familiar with these airports and elsewhere, is that if those things are not taken care of, the lease lapses.
Sure.
However, if we have special statutory language here that requires only that you or the leasee comply only with health and product quality provisions, there's a provision of cancellation that
Well, I think what the intent was, as I understand this, we go down to clause number line 20, that the lease may be negotiated by the Commissioner of Natural Resources. I think what our understanding was that the other terms of the lease would be typical commercial terms and conditions, and that she would have the ability to, as in any lease, negotiate standard terms as to liability insurance and things of that nature. And these provisions here were only very specific to this particular type of business, and there was a concern that operate profitably and that comply with health standards. But our understanding is that she, in clause number 20 or 19, whichever it may be, has the ability to negotiate many, many more terms that are pretty standard in leases. And these are only a few of the ones that would be there.
You wouldn't have a problem with further clarification that if we find from others or drafters. In other words, just, I mean, it seems pretty plain to me that it says that it's renewable every year for 14 years if you've complied with those two things, health and product.
Sure. But I think the intent is to comply with all the terms of the lease.
Yeah. I mean, yes. That would seem like that's the question. Second question that I had is, Mr. Chairman, you said that all industry supported this concept, as you in your initial comments. You said
I'm talking about the dairy industry, yes.
Well, we have in our packets.
We took that out. Excuse me.
Oh, we took that section out of the bill. I deleted section two.
Okay, so now the Alaska Mill and Feed Company
just out of the bill.
Well, they have a letter here. I mean, they no longer have concerns. Is that what you're telling me? That they
yes.
Alaska Mill and Feed.
What initially happened? The bill that we first talked about introducing really only dealt with the creamery. Then certain people wanted to have that other part added too, so we added it, but now it's been taken out again.
Senator Curtula.
I might say that Alaska Mill and Feed has also ridden the public tip pretty heavily. They got the State Division of Agriculture transfer in a second position of state involvement in their activities, allowed the bank to keep first and the bank had the second. I mean, they have very little much to stand to speak from if you want to get into it. I speak from 25 years involvement in the former cooperative, first one of two second-generation directors, and when I was managing the cooperative, it had a net worth of $2.5 million, and that's $1,960, and was making $500,000 a year. I think it was a real success story. I think the farmers could run this operation, take it over again. I do see a different type of farm than one I had there, but there are some very competent, knowledgeable people and understand economics, understand business, and understand that the state isn't going to forever, consumer state isn't going to forever carry them, and that's the reason they're here before you. The thing that I wanted to touch base again while Joe was here, though, is one, I don't speak to the, and although my terminology was inappropriate, I didn't speak to the additions, emoluments, and efforts of farmers to rebuild or reconstruct. I speak to the basic value of the building and the lands at the time of sale. Those, with the exception of the repair, have nothing to do with the hardworking farmer's contribution to the equipment or values, and of which I don't believe the state should be the beneficiary. But I do believe that the present land values, phrased now or later, and present building value, that's just a matter of public responsibility, that they ought to have a fair market appraisal. I prefer it at the time of sale, although I suppose I won't get my horrifying argument if you have a fair market appraisal as at the time of the takeover of the lease, if there's one arranged for. Again, I do think, no matter what we do, though, that all the elements that you've been concerned about around the table, whether there is if there's state-supported revenues that the state at least ought to know exist by virtue of debts owed to the cooperative from supplying their products, or whether they have inventory, all those things ought to be a list here that you know before you cut the deal, if in fact this legislation is doing that. I don't think it'd take too long to acquire them. Indeed, Mark may have them. I have no argument with the statement that that the private cooperative, if in fact it has the ability to run it, if it doesn't, I suspect nobody is going to anyway, and that it should take it over and run it. I think it's probably time for the state to turn it over to it now. We've been kind of shepherding and guarding it because we were in the Point McKenzie development project, and we recognized pretty much together that's one of the chain link. The processing is quite as important as production. If you're going to say the production, you had to have a processing facility. And that the farmers now feel they're mature enough to take it over. And I'm sure there's always going to be those questions and run it and do so and sink or swim. So long as the basic values the state now has, whatever they may mean, remain, why, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think the state ought to stay any longer than it has to. I think it's reluctantly involved now.
Senator, I ask them.
Who is this group that the state is going to enter in this agreement with?
It currently exists an organization that consists of all the producers in the rail belt. It's called Alaska Quality Dairy Cooperative Inc.
How long has that been in existence?
Since 1986.
1986. Are any of those people memberships of have board membership and the people who are managing it now?
No, because now currently it's operated by the Agricultural Loan Fund.
Were any of these people former directors of this operation?
I believe that two out of the current 13 producers were members of the old cooperative known as Nanus Gamay up until November 25th, 1983, when they filed bankruptcy.
Well, this other group, they were a part of the operation just as users, then, right?
Yes, they were.
didn't have any say whatsoever in the way it was managed?
Well, I guess, like I said, two of those people were on the board. Now, if you want to analyze what happened to the creamery in general, there was a report done by WSU, I've got it right here, dated June of 84, Ed Owens. And basic summary of the report say that the creamery lacked good business practices and it lacked good directorial management, and it was basically mismanaged. Now, we feel that our current proposal, which has the state having input in to the board members, will help us guarantee that this doesn't reoccur again.
Good luck. You're trying to get the state out of the business, now you're putting it back in.
Yeah.
That bothers me a little bit.
Well, I might just question further. Currently, our proposed board is Augie Hebert, who runs Channel 11, John Kearns, who's the president of Carr Gustin Company, a biggest retailer. It's Chris Walling, the managing partner over at AY, which is now called Winston Ernie. We have John Sewell, who ran NAPCO, a very large company on the used oil. So we have, I think, a pretty diverse group of people, and I think that that's what it's going to take, different backgrounds and different interests in the community. So I think that protection of this, event that occurred between, like Jay had mentioned, in February 28th of 77, the creamery had a net worth of $2.5 million. Between 1977 and the bankruptcy date of November 25th, 83, it lost $4 million. And it's all because of poor management. And this agreement here goes a long way towards guaranteeing that by having the state have the ability to have input in to who those directors are going to be, that we don't have this thing reoccur again.
We have to get ourselves in a bankruptcy situation before we realize we have bad management?
I think in a lot of cases you do, evidently, yes.
Well, you have management contracts, labor contracts, price of milk, all of it enters into it.
Yeah. Federal competitive subsidies. You could tell a story here the last 4 hours.
We have Karen Lee, who's down here from Wasilla, and I'd like to have her testify before we get kicked out of this room. And as far as Mark,
not today, you go.
Lots
today
of luck.
Go out of here.
Is that right?
We need to talk about a couple other things anyway, Mr. Weaver, and so.
Good afternoon. My name is Karen Lee. I own Dairy West, which is located at Point McKenzie, and it's the first farm to have started this. Generally, I'd like to concur in the previous remarks. And maybe bring up again a little of the historical background. I'm one of the two people that Joe mentioned as having been on the former board. However, I wasn't on that board until after the creamery was in bankruptcy. I had produced milk for a few short months, and then the creamery went bankrupt. And so really there's only one person on the 13-member board now who was a member of it prior to bankruptcy. There are a number of other things. Bad management is certainly true, but there were a lot of circumstances, as Jay indicated. One of them was that Point McKenzie was delayed by the state's faulty method of handling the Point McKenzie lottery for 2 years. And that left the creamery with a very small amount of milk being produced in a facility that needs 2.5 million pounds a month in order to break even. And it was down to, when I started to produce milk, it was down to under 1 million pounds a month. So that had a great deal to do with it. However, the Washington State people are also correct in that there weren't proper management responses to that in time. Also, historically, a lot of people in and out of the administration and the news media and so forth seem to think that dairy farming is a losing proposition. Actually, it has a 53-year history most of which is successful. There have really only been two crises, at least that I can remember, and I've been involved in it since 1953, and this is one of them. And I am very confident that we can all work through this one. And I have invested a lot of money in that supposition. Also, I believe that the main point here is whether or not the farmers are going to get back to controlling their own destiny, really. The state, I don't think, can run an entity such as the creamery effectively over any long period of time, and shouldn't really be expected to. As I understand it, that's one of the big reasons why Alaska Renewable Resources Corporation was shut down by the state, was because the specter of their becoming the owner-operator of a number of resource businesses was just too much for anybody to handle, and I think rightfully so. Some people in the administration have implied that the management level in the private sector at the dairy farm level is not adequate to this and the task, and I don't believe that in the first place. I think that the management mix that we have gotten on the board is really incredible. There are a lot of people out there who are interested in seeing a basic industry such as the milk plant survive and prosper, and they're willing to donate their time for nothing. We at the farm level, you know, farming is really, dairy farm in particular, is really just a modern factory with a much smaller margin for error. And I believe that farming is probably, in the modern era, is probably the most difficult and the most risky business there is. And if people can make a farm work with the small margins there are, they can also make the creamery work. The other factor, of course, is that we have to make the creamery work. The state is getting tired, and even other aspects of agriculture are getting tired of the drain of unloved funds coming out of Manu's Maid. And you know, if I were a beef or a grain farmer, I would probably be upset about it too. In fact, I'm upset about it as a dairy farmer. I think it must end, and I think the state in the form of the ARO, or the Ag Revolving Loan Fund, is determined that it shall end. What I'm afraid of is that if we are not in a position to have continuity of management of the creamery, that it will be ended most rudely in the form of, you know, just a shutdown. So I'm definitely in favor of seeing this bill with its amendments pass. I don't have any problem with any of the amendments, and I think they make the bill a better vehicle. Are there any questions?
Thank you very much, Karen. Is there any questions? Senator
Chairman, I was noticing in some of the backup information that I assume this group is going to have working capital to operate. That's a different issue altogether.
Yeah, no, it's not a different issue, but I'm not the accountant in the family. I'll try to answer you as I see it. We currently are entering into a management oversight agreement with the state for the next 9 months. And the way that is run is we basically, the cash, what little there is of it, and the receivables, inventory, and so forth, are just going to be retained by the entity as though, you know, no, there is, as I understand, there's going to be no loan, no, you know, we're not going to say, okay, this is your receivables, and now we have to go back for a loan for that amount. As I see it, we're taking them over.
Oh, the accounts receivable?
And continuing on, yes. That's the way the management oversight...
That's the point that Senator Fisher was getting to, that...
Pardon?
He was wondering how you could lease some money.
Well, there isn't any money to speak of, except for, you know, what's in the bank account, and is, sometimes, you know, that's very little. Mainly, it's receivables and that kind of thing that are the, what you call liquid assets.
In other words, you're going to operate off the receivables?
Yeah. That's essentially the idea.
He said, somebody else did receivables.
Walk in the door with the nickel.
These are other people's receivables, though. That's the question.
Well, not really. We produce the milk.
Go ahead.
You say it takes 2.5 million pounds a month to break even?
Yes.
That's just to pay the operating?
That's what the university study indicated, and that's been pretty well been worn out by the operating history since.
That's just to keep the doors open.
And yes.
That won't retire any debt or pay interest or. No.
Just small amounts of interest, you know, like there. As I understand it, there are some new loans since the bankruptcy. In the form of trucks and computers and things like that. That's being paid.
Well, I guess the question is, it takes 2.5 million pounds a month to break even.
1 million.
And, of course, it depends on how much you charge. So you're looking at probably $1 a hundredweight, as far as this is?
Oh, no, it's quite a bit more now. About 40% of the hundredweight. So, I'm not sure. What is it? It must be at least 12, 10 or 12. The processing cost per
hundredweight. About $9 per
hundredweight. About $90.
Nine. Okay. We are producing slightly more than 2.5 million right now. 2.6, and when as soon as we get control of the creamery, we are going to accelerate the marketing program that the present management has already begun.
What now? Go ahead. No, that's just fine. Thank you.
We're out of time, and pest committee has to take over this room at 3:30, and we're past that time right now. What we can do is our next committee meeting, we'll take this or up at the second order of business in our meeting day after tomorrow, and we could maybe make it where that you and Joe could listen, and we could maybe teleconference so that you would be up to date where we're at, because we know we don't want you folks coming back and forth. We'll continue to work on trying to get a bill that everybody can live with, and we'll go forward with it. But we'll keep it continually on the calendar every day until such time as we resolve it or we flame in glory.
Mr. Chairman, I think we can accommodate the author. I think we can accommodate one of the concerns, which was on how you compute fair market value or price. And I'll be working on that the next day with Senator DeCoulin.
All right, and we have.
Just one question. I guess this is really the bottom line, is that if that operation ceased, what would happen?
Well, the farms would have no place to sell their milk, and
they would
cease
really
as well.
A problem. So we're
yeah,
we're
there is
our
a
$10
spot. Million. I didn't mention that, and I should have. There's a $10 million loan investment at Point McKenzie by itself in the dairy farms. That would be down to
not counting the infrastructure that, right. that has been put in there with roads and power lines.
Exactly.
Yeah. I know that.
Well,